Welcome to episode 324 of the Ski Podcast, and thanks for joining us, listener. I'm your host, Ian Martin, and today we'll be finding out about a new retreat in Chamonix that's raising money for one of snow sports' leading charities. Plus, we have snow reports from Australia and New Zealand, and news about the Northern Snow Show, and that is today's show. Right, let's meet today's guests. I've got two guests with me today, both are first timers on the show. Firstly, I'm delighted to welcome founder of the Chamonix company, Girl Powder Mountain Retreats, Laura Marriott Clark. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi, I'm really well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure, Laura. Whereabouts are you today?
I'm actually in Spain on a family holiday, so it feels a little bit odd to be talking about snow sports and winter, but I'm always ready for that, always ready to talk about Snow Camp and their great work.
Firstly, thank you very much for joining us on your holiday. And secondly, that's kind of what every podcast has been like this summer, talking about snow and snowy things when it's been beating it down with sun and incredibly hot. Let's move on to our second guest today. Also joining us is Morv Bett, who is head of snow sport and futures at Snow Camp, the UK youth charity. Hi, Morv. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. Yeah, thank you again for having me. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about Snow Camp.
Cool. Where are you today, Morv?
So I am not in anywhere as exciting as Laura, unfortunately. I'm in rainy Manchester, so...
Okay, fulfilling the cliches there, rainy Manchester. I'm in Brighton. I've been for a swim in the sea this morning, so despite the fact it is summer, I'm feeling a bit chilly, but the blood has returned to my fingers now. So we're going to think about the winter, and we're going to come on to how Laura and Morv are working together later on. But first, the way I always like to start off the show is to ask my guests when they skied or snowboarded last. So... Laura, I know you're based in Chamonix. I'm guessing it was in Chamonix, but do tell me.
Actually, it was in Chamonix. It was actually the week after the Snow Camp AJ Bell rally that we've been to Val Thorens, and I just tagged on a last few days where I had that joy of mountain biking in the morning, skiing in the morning and mountain biking in the afternoon, because you're in that mixed season where it's too slushy in the afternoon but it's glorious in the morning. So that was me in April this year.
Well, I was actually out in Chamonix at the same time. I don't know if you've been following the podcast, but I based myself out there for a couple of months from the middle of March to the middle of May. And my last day of skiing remains, the last day in the Grand Monte, which I think was the 3rd of May. I'm looking forward to going skiing again. It looks like it's going to be on snow indoor, which we'll come to later on in the show. But Morv, what about yourself? When were you last on snow?
I have been on an indoor slope in the last week, but my last time in a resort was in Val Thorens, where Laura was at the AJ Bell Three Valley Rally at the end of April, the fundraiser for Snow Camp. So,
well, I mean, we've talked about the AJ Bell Three Valley Rally several times on the show before, but I know it's extremely significant in terms of fundraising for Snow Camp. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can find out more about the AJ Bell Three Valley Rally. Now, most of our listeners are in the Northern Hemisphere, going through what has been a pretty warm summer. But down under, the season is well underway. Let's hear from Australia and New Zealand expert Rachel Oakes-Ash, and then Guy Beetson, who's based in New Zealand, on how their seasons are progressing.
Hi, Ian. This is a report that's filled with highs and lows. August has definitely been a famine and feast month for both countries, Australia and New Zealand resorts. Australia hasn't even hit the 1 metre snowfall mark this season yet, and resorts have certainly struggled with recent rainfall during a truly challenging snowstorm cycle season. Now, both Selwyn Snowfields and Mount Baw-Baw, they are lower in elevation, but they have now closed for the season for 2026, and it's not even the end of August yet. However, you know, these resorts are still running. Thredbo's, you know, got snow and skiing available up the top of the mountain. Parrish has had 152 snow guns going. Scotty James made it back down under for his Mookie's mini pipe at Thredbo. And Valentino Caselli had his Red Bull sessions as well at Parrish. Hotham has announced their end of season pond skim for August 31, this Monday, so we'll see what happens after that. Across the ditch, New Zealand, they've had an equally interesting season with a mix of snow, rain and warm temps, followed by dry spells, then more snow. Off-piste has been challenging at some of the resorts. On-piste has been impeccable. However, the South Island is currently in a major snowstorm cycle as we speak. it was nuking yesterday. Treble Cone has had around 60 centimetres apparently, and so has Cardrona. However, the resorts in Otago, including Coronet Peak and the Remarkables, have experienced a fluctuating freezing level with this particular snowstorm cycle, which means on-piste is great, off-piste is extremely varied this morning. There is another cycle coming through on Sunday. We're not too sure how much snow that's going to bring, but it's all arrived at the right time because mid-September, the Snow League with Sean White will be coming down under to Wanaka and Queenstown for the Snow League competition in Cardrona and some creative competitions in Treble Cone. There's also the North Face Frontier that is being held in the next week, so we'll see how the weather holds out for those guys. So we're still chugging along across both sides of the ditch. I'll definitely come back here for the Snow League. I'm in New Zealand right now, about to fly out today. I'll come back for the Snow League and keep you updated on what's happening then.
Thanks, Ian. And kia ora koutou, everyone. And welcome to the latest update from Whakapapa on Mount Ruapehu. It's been another beautiful spell on the Maunga, with a solid snow base, plenty of terrain available, and some stunning days above the cloud. Conditions have been holding up well, with forecasts hinting at a few light top-ups over the coming days and a bit more snow in the forecast looking further out. What we do have is a mountain that continues to ski remarkably well for this stage of the season. For me, one of the highlights of the week has been getting out and doing some skiing of my own with a friend. It's been great to take a few runs simply for the enjoyment of being on snow and sharing the experience with someone else. That said, the real magic for me still happens when I'm teaching people to ski for the first time, as I've been doing in the last several weeks. This season, I've spent time with people who only hours earlier have never seen a pair of skis before in their lives. When I tell them I'll have them skiing in 2 hours, they don't believe me, and I prove them wrong. It's a reminder that skiing isn't just about snow conditions or vertical meters. It's about confidence, challenge, friendship, and discovery. And in my case, skiing on an active volcano with stunning mountain scenery in New Zealand's North Island. Nō reira, whether you're heading up for your first day on the snow or your 50th, make the most of the conditions, enjoy our incredibly white maunga if you're here in New Zealand, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for a few fresh top-ups before the season draws to a close in a few months' time. Ka kite anō on the slopes, and back to you, Ian.
Thanks to Rachel and Guy for those reports. If you'd like to know more about Rachel, also known as Miss Snow It All, then I highly recommend you listen to my in-depth interview with her in episode 312. It is such a great story. Now, two episodes ago, I mentioned the Northern Snow Show, which takes place at the Snow Centre Manchester in October. Earlier this week, I spoke with Matt Robinson, head of events, to find out more about what's going on. I am really excited to be joined today by Matt Robinson, Northern Snow Manager at the Snow Centre Manchester. And the reason I wanted to speak to you today is we have the Northern Snow Show coming up pretty soon. I wanted to find out a little bit more about it from you. I wondered if you could just start off by telling us what the dates are of that Northern Snow Show.
Yeah, absolutely. So the show takes place on the 3rd and 4th of October at the Snow Centre Manchester.
Cool. Well, I'm very excited. I know it's the third year of the show. I haven't been before, but I'm going this year. I wondered if you could just give us an idea of what's going to be going on during the course of those 2 days.
Yeah, so this year's show, it's our biggest show yet. We've got well over 50 brands this year. There's loads of stuff taking place. So we've got equipment brands on real snow, so you can demo this season's latest kit. We have the Jib Park, which is a purpose-built freestyle park for the weekend. We've got Kirsty Moore joining us on there. We've got Jamie Nichols joining us on there. We've got DSUK. We've got Burton. And there's another bunch of other brands joining us as well. We've also got our fireside chats upstairs, along with some live music and APRA in the lodge.
You've covered a lot of ground there. You've already mentioned Kirsty Moore. To me, that's very exciting. Obviously, Jamie Nichols, longtime associate of the Snow Centre as well. But, you know, Kirsty Moore, 2 fourth places at the Winter Olympics. What's she going to be doing at the show?
So she's doing a fireside chat. So she's going to open the show on the Saturday. So there's the opportunity for visitors of the show to come on down, go on the freestyle park with Kirsty, get some tips and tricks, and just, you know, have a great time with her.
Cool. And I imagine that's limited. They have to book in for that, do they?
Yeah. So we have just gone on sale with those. So there's 20 spaces on there. So there is still availability to get on there. But if you want to jump on, I'd get in fairly quick.
Okay, we're recording this on Tuesday, not publishing until Friday. Hopefully they'll still be available then. But the show itself then, it doesn't actually cost anything to go along. If you want to go along and see the brands and see the fireside chats, etc., there's no cost to that. There is a cost if you want to go on the slope, the premium ticket. I wondered if you could just clarify how much that costs and what that gives you.
Yeah, so like you said, the show is completely free to attend. Just turn up on the Saturday or Sunday. But if you do want to upgrade your ticket, you can book one of our premium tickets. So it's £25. You instantly get a £20 voucher for the Snow Centre, which you can put towards a lift pass, a lesson, to a gym park session, and that lasts for 1 year. You don't need to use that at the show. You can use it at a later date if you want. You also get a goodie bag, and in there you've got a bunch of goodies from our partner brands. And the best bit, you're also making a donation to Snow Camp Charity and DSUK as well.
Cool. That is, you know, brilliant value for money. I think that you're going to get so much out of that, and I'm really looking forward to it. I should add that as well as being at the show, I'm going to be doing a presentation about driving an electric vehicle to the Alps. I think that's going to be on the Saturday, and I'll be talking to lots of people at the show, doing some interviews, and then covering that in one of our episodes after the show. So listener, if you're not in the Manchester area, you should be able to find out what's going on. So I'm really looking forward to that. Just remind us again then, Matt, what the dates and times are.
Yeah, it's the 3rd and 4th of October. On the Saturday, the show runs 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. And then on the Sunday, it's 10 a.m. till 4 p.m.
That is brilliant. I've got one more question for you. And this might be a bit of a reach, but you know, every week at the end of the podcast, I look at where people have been listening to the podcast from. And people listen to the podcast from all over the world. And I noticed a few weeks ago, there was a listener in Kazakhstan. And I happen to know from speaking to you in the green room, you've just been on holiday in Kazakhstan. I wondered if by chance that might have been you.
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry, but
that's not a problem. I mean, yeah. That means that evidently we've got, you know, at least one listener in Kazakhstan. So there you go. We have listeners all over the world. I just thought I'd take a punt and see if that one was you. Well, anyway, I'm really looking forward to meeting you at the show and meeting Kirsty and everything going on the Fireside Chat, getting on the slope, getting some pre-season turns in. So that's brilliant, Matt. Thank you very much for your time.
Nice one, Ian. Thanks very much.
One of the things that Matt mentioned to me is that the premium tickets include a donation to Snow Camp. So that is a really good reason to go and to get on the slopes as well. More of you mentioned that you'd skied on snow recently. That was at the Snow Centre Manchester as well, was it?
It was, yes. It was alongside some of our new young people who have just began learning to ski and snowboard this summer. So I was on the snow alongside them, watching them develop their skills and helping them to progress.
Excellent. Well, actually, that is something that we'll come on to further a little bit later on. But let me just move on from the Northern Snow Show. That is going to be followed 2 weeks later by the London Snow Show. I am looking forward to both events, but London is a different scale. That will take place at Olympia on the 17th and 18th of October. And there is so much going on. I will be covering that in more detail in future episodes. But for now, I'm delighted to let you know that we have free tickets for podcast listeners. I won't read out the code as it's stupidly long, but I will include all the details in the show notes, and I'll be at the show myself on both days. On Saturday, I'll be joined by our equipment expert Al Morgan as we go through some of the best kit to look out for this winter, and then later the same day I'll be moderating a panel discussion on the increasing number of night trains as a great way of getting to ski resorts. Then I'll be back on the Sunday when I'll be offering tips and sharing my experience of taking a dog to the Alps, which we did with our Vizsla Willow in Chamonix last winter. And I love meeting listeners, so please do come along to all of those and say hello. Right, let's move on to today's guests. Now, regular guests will know the charity Snow Camp well, hopefully. We've covered their great work on the podcast many times before, most recently in episode 249. And hopefully, some listeners will remember that I fundraised for them last year and I managed to visit all five of the UK's indoor snow centres in a single day, which is quite an adventure. But I'm sure there will be listeners who are not familiar with Snow Camp. So Morv, maybe we could start with a brief explanation of the work you do, because you mentioned that you've taken some people to Snow Centre North just now. So maybe you give us more of a sense for what you do.
Yeah, sure. So for anyone who doesn't know about Snow Camp, we're a national youth charity and we use the power of snow sports to help young people to better themselves and their life choices, give them qualifications and educate them through snow sport. We connect with youth organisations across the UK and we use our connections to the indoor snow centres and dry slopes in Scotland, and we bring young people to the centres for their first time. You know, these young people have never even heard of snow sports. They probably don't even know what it looks like. And then they turn up at the snow centres and learn all about skiing and snowboarding and take their first steps on the snow. And we take them through a year-long journey that follows through a progression with their skills on the slope. But the point of what we're doing is helping them with their skills in their everyday lives and helping them to progress themselves to, you know, where that next step is and where that takes them, and giving them someone that believes in them, a family around them to push them and get the best out of them. And, you know, the year-long journey ends in a more focused course where we have a smaller group of young people that start to become instructors. So they do their BASI foundation qualification, and then we take them out to Andorra to finish the year, and they have their first time in a mountain and work with instructors out there, advancing their skill sets, practicing their teaching skills.
I mean, it is a fantastic charity. You mentioned that you're giving people the opportunity to experience snow in the UK, and you mentioned multiple centres. So you're close to Manchester. This also happens at the Snow Centre in Hemel Hempstead as well. And am I right in thinking there's a Scotland centre now as well? It might not be indoors on snow, but you're doing work, yeah, in Scotland as well.
Yeah, so we used to work in the Scotland Snow Centre when it was open. Unfortunately, that closed. But yeah, so we're up in Scotland at the dry ski slopes, Bears Den and Bellahouston. We're in Manchester at the Snow Centre Manchester, London in Hemel Hempstead. And then we've got our Midlands programme running from Tamworth Snowdome. So yeah, we're across four regions.
Fantastic. And how many young people might get the opportunity to experience skiing and snowboarding on that annual basis on the summer programme?
So we work with over 1,000 young people every year. So that's what we have we aim to work with, that amount of young people, and want to work with as many young people as possible. So we're bringing 1,000 young people to gain access to snow sports for the first time ever every single summer for the last 23 years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, I actually know Snow Camp. Have known Snow Camp since it started, when Dan started it, because Snow Camp is Brighton based, as I am, and I've come across them many times. But you mentioned you're giving 1,000 people, let's say, or over 1,000 people, the opportunity to try snow. And then you mentioned how some of them progress onto Andorra. What kind of numbers are you taking out there?
So we usually have around 100 young people that finish our final stage of our programme, and we take them all to Andorra over the Easter break, where they do a BASI foundation qualification.
That's fantastic. Now, it goes beyond that, I think, everything that Snow Camp offers with apprenticeships and placements. And Amira Blackwood discussed her journey on episode 249. She's worked for Ellis Brigham and for the Ski Club of Great Britain. Can you tell us a little bit about that side of the programme?
Yes. So Amira was a great example of a young person that finished our snow camp program, came to Andorra, and then followed through to join our apprenticeship. We also have our new Futures program, which allows any of the young people that come through our snow camp journey to continue to develop their skill sets, to bring them into their next stages of their life, whether that's an employment pathway and helping young people to gain better job readiness skill sets to get them into the path that they want to follow, whether that's university or if it's an employment pathway within the snow sports industry and beyond. Amira was on the apprenticeship, which we have every single year in each region. We have a number of apprentices that we recruit from that cohort of young people that have finished our program. And through the apprenticeship, they do multiple different placements across the year to learn and develop and broaden their understanding of the snow sports industry and different roles that they can achieve. So Amira went on to do lots of work with Ellis Brigham and the Snow Centre in Hemel. And, you know, she's just one example of a young person that then gained employment after the apprenticeship through the placements.
Well, it's evident that there is a lot that Snow Camp is doing for young people to help them further their lives in general. And I know, you know, when we've had Dan on before talking about how some people's lives, the direction of travel has changed hugely. All of this is dependent on funds and raising funds. And you mentioned the AJ Bell Three Valley Rally, a very effective way of doing it. But one of the reasons I wanted to invite Laura on today as well is to look at some of the ways it's possible to raise funds for Snow Camp. Laura, there are a couple of questions I'd like to cover. You know, let's start with the business that you run. You founded Girl Powder Mountain Retreats in one of my favorite places, Chamonix. I wondered why you founded it and what those retreats offer.
Well, Girl Powder Retreats was born from two things, really. One, myself and my family renovating a property, which was three apartments, into a chalet, which I always had half a mind on doing group trips. And I just noticed in Chamonix over the years, I've been going to Chamonix for 20 plus years myself, and it's an absolute heart place for me, that it's always full in the winter of groups of men. It's an alpha place. It has the alpha reputation. And I thought, well, I have no idea why this is. I have no idea why for some reason, women's trips always seem to go to places like Morzine and Leger. Why are they not coming to Chamonix? Because it has, for my mind, it has literally everything you could want. So it was born out of a combination of having the space to be able to host, noticing that Chamonix was more alpha male than attracting groups of women. And then for myself, came at a time where my children were getting older. I was looking for a new chapter myself. I love hosting. I love seeing it through other people's eyes. And Girl Powder Retreats was born out of that.
Right. I mean, it's very interesting to hear you say that. Evidently, there is quite a lot of testosterone flying around in Chamonix. And you see that with people with their ice axes and their ropes and all of this. I wouldn't say it's exclusively male. And, you know, maybe it's just because I know quite a few people out there, but a lot of incredibly strong female skiers out in Chamonix, without a doubt. But I can understand that perhaps you're more likely to say that a girls' trip might be more likely to head to some of those other destinations that you mentioned. So maybe you could just tell us a little bit more about what the retreats that you offer include.
You're absolutely right that Chamonix is for everyone, and that's 100% my point. But Girl Powder Retreats is offering something for all types of skiing women, actually. And it's grown into a space where women grow in confidence, whatever their level, because obviously there are lots of ice axe wielding women who are incredibly amazing skiers, but Girl Powder Retreats is not exclusively for those women. It is absolutely for women who have, I'd say probably the majority of women that come are women who have decided that for whatever reason, they've been on lots of family ski holidays and their kids are now suddenly faster than them. They constantly feel like they're at the back. They're bored of that. They actually would like to be in a space where instead of everybody's moaning at them, they are in a completely supportive place that is going to raise their confidence. They're going to feel great about skiing. And so many times people say to me, I really love the mountains. And I started to feel like maybe it wasn't for me anymore. And so that's what I would say is the vast majority of people that are coming. So it's not really about the ice axe wielding, roping into a couloir skier. It's more about raising confidence at all levels.
Cool. It's interesting what you're saying there. It definitely fits into a narrative and a conversation that we've had on the Ski Podcast, you know, many times before, something that Shemi Alcott has brought up about women looking for an environment where they can feel comfortable without having the pressures of their family and their children on them at the same time and be able to kind of ski at their own speed and without judgment. However, I am slightly worried about your description of the ice axe wielding women. They sound like they probably came from like a Michael Douglas movie in the 80s or something like that. But let's move on to the crossover with Snow Camp then. So your company is called Girl Powder Mountain Retreats, but this is an impact retreat. And I wondered if you could explain how the impact retreat is different from the regular retreats.
So this was born out of a discussion actually at the AJ Bell rally last year, where whilst it's amazing to raise lots of money for Snow Camp, and I'm obviously fully in favour of that, and I support that 100%, actually listening to the stories of the young people on that rally really made me believe that having time with them was just not as important as the money, but had huge value. So I spoke to Morv, I spoke to Dan Keeley at the charity about what I could do to give more time and to allow access to more people for those young people to be maybe to be inspired, to get more experience, actual practical experience. So the Impact Retreat was born out of that, which is a full girl powder retreat with all the luxury accoutrements of what I normally offer. You know, we have a fantastic chalet. It's in a brilliant place in Chamonix, as we've previously discussed. There's be full days ability, small group ability based ski tuition or guiding, depending on level, all inclusive, amazing food. You know, all of those things are going to be there. But this is a special retreat because it will also have six apprentices from Snow Camp who will be working alongside all of those people, working alongside the ski instructors, working alongside the people that host, working alongside the chef, being completely integrated with all of the guests, learning from them. So for the apprentices, they're getting practical work experience. Fantastic. For the guests, what they're getting is real insight into what Snow Camp does and what those young people are gaining from it. And so there's a marriage there that I hope will be really fantastic for everybody involved.
I mean, it absolutely sounds fantastic. I'm going to come back to the actual elements of the retreat itself. But Morv, I wonder if I could just turn to you then. So there are going to be six Snow Camp representatives who go out and do different jobs such as guiding, chefing, hosting, or shadowing the staff there. How do you select those very lucky six people?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, we have a lot of young people that would benefit from an opportunity like that. So, you know, choosing the right young people is really important, that we give them all the best chance possible to have access to these opportunities. So, you know, as part of our Futures program, which is all about advancing the young people beyond our Snow Camp core programs, we are helping them with how it feels to apply for jobs and submit applications. So, you know, there will be a process of application for this opportunity where the young people will get to tell us exactly why they really want to have this chance. And, you know, part of that process is all about them, you know, having a real think about, you know, their future for themselves, but also having the ability to practice applying for something without the maybe the pressures of it being to do with a job in that first instance, and giving them the chance to practice and get better and get feedback and advance themselves in this kind of scary journey that applying and interviewing for things is. So yes, we're going to do an application process, which I know Laura is going to hopefully help us with a little bit, and we'll select the young people from there.
And, you know, apart from anything, you know, the fantastic opportunity to be able to go out and to shadow staff and to work in that environment, simply going to Chamonix can be pretty mind-blowing for people, because, you know, when we've been out there and we had lots of people come to visit us, and some of them had been to ski resorts, let's say, before, they don't really appreciate how dramatic Chamonix is, and it can make such a huge impression on you, whether you've seen the mountain or if you've never seen the mountains before, even more so, because the, you know, the sides of the valley are so steep. So another, you know, fantastic opportunity. And I think I'm right in saying that the entire cost of the week have been donated by Laura. So for everyone who goes and joins for that particular week,
each guest is going to pay their share of supporting this retreat. So all of the costs of the guides, the food, the all-inclusive nature of it, that will be paid for by shared between the guests, and all the costs of supporting the snow camp people to be there also all covered by that. So no one's looking to make any profit, and actually no one's, it's not really a fundraising moment either. It really is about creating the opportunities for those young people and actually for those guests to experience snow camp.
So, Laura, can I just check with you then? What are the dates and how do people book for this particular Impact Week?
So it's actually four nights. It's the 27th to the 31st of January. The cost is £1,750 per person, twin share. For that, you'll get everything from the moment you land in Geneva Airport or any other transport to Geneva. So that includes all of the equipment hire, the tuition guiding, all inclusive in the chalet, lift pass, all transport, daily yoga even. At the moment, we have half full. So we're looking for some more people who would like this opportunity.
Okay, well, hopefully someone listening to the podcast right now will be busy thinking, yep, that's great. I'd love to get involved, and I'll put all of the details in the show notes. That's brilliant, Laura. Morv, I wondered if I could just turn back to you briefly. I noticed that Snow Camp was included in the list of top SME apprenticeship employers in the country, 16th in that ranking overall, and the highest ranking charity. So congratulations to you and your colleagues for that. It's not the first time you've been on that list, I think.
Yeah, that was a cool achievement for us. It's something that's really important to Snow Camp to kind of stay within those statistics and be, you know, performing well and as apprenticeship providers. So yeah, that was a really cool thing to be noticed for. Like I touched on before, we do have apprenticeships every single year coming from the cohort of young people that have started our program that summer. You know, the ones I was talking about that I was skiing and snowboarding with the last time I skied at Manchester Snow Centre. And then, you know, they come through our program less than a year later, they're working for us as apprentices. So yeah, it's a really exciting journey where they get the chance to develop their skill sets as ski and snowboard instructors, as coaches. They do an MVQ qualification as a coach, a community activator coach. And then alongside that, they're helping us to deliver our core programs, and they are on snow sports placements across the country.
Well, that is fantastic. And I'm sure that if anyone listening to the podcast wasn't familiar with Snow Camp before, they will be very interested. And I will put links to everything we've discussed in the show notes so listeners can find out more as to whether they want to, you know, get involved with fundraising or go on one of the retreats or get involved in any sort of way. That's fantastic, Morv and Laura. Thank you very much for that. Right. We're going to move towards the close now. Let's move on to you, listener. I love getting feedback from listeners. You can let us know what you've enjoyed this week or ideas for future features by leaving a comment on Spotify, Instagram, or Facebook. Or you can drop me an email to skipodcast@gmail.com. We're also on WhatsApp, where I release exclusive material ahead of each episode there. Look in the show notes for all those links. All of this week's comments are from the Snowheads community. That is a great online snow sports community. I'll put a link in the show notes to it. Lane said, just listen to episode 322. Interesting as always. Russi said, really enjoyed the interview with Stu Brass. That was back in episode 213. He says, I remember SC UK, Snowball Club UK, and went on a few trips with the chaps from the snowboarding forum from which SC UK was born. Stir said, some very listenable Chamonix story podcasts. I like that. If they are a podcast, hopefully they should be listenable. Regular listeners will know I spent a couple of months in Chamonix in the spring. I explored lots of stories. He did say, though, I must take exception to the interviewee in episode 318. That was Rob Rees, who stated that the main resort in the Oster Valley is Courmayeur. Stir says, it's not even the biggest and is too crowded to be the best. All fair points. What is best? I don't know. I mean, I quite like Courmayeur, but it's absolutely true that ski area is fairly limited. There are now 324 episodes of the Ski Podcast to catch up with. 178 of those are listened to in the last week alone. If you'd like to keep your snow fix going until the winter, then just go to theskipodcast.com, have a search around the tags and categories, and you're bound to find something of interest. I can tell you that most of our listeners in the last week were in the UK, just over 20% in North America, 7% in Australia and New Zealand, and everyone else spread as far and wide as Uruguay, Kenya, and Malaysia. So that's it for this week. After only two episodes during August, the Ski Podcast will now be back to weekly episodes through the build-up to winter and then during the season itself. We'll be back in a week's time with a very special interview that I'm sure you're going to love. For now, I would like to thank my guest today. Morv, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Laura, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me too. Really loved it.
And finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.